The presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I sing glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Show me the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. If you're here today and you're believing God for some type of healing in your body, just lift your hands this morning and just say, I receive my healing today. In the name and by the blood of Jesus, I declare you healed. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, backs and knees and elbows and joints and necks and headaches and asthmas and diabeteses and cancers and COVIDs and colds and all these things are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Broken bones be healed in Jesus' name. Eyes be open, ears be open. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Just praise Him for His healing power today. In the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're listening to this message, maybe later online, maybe you're not right with God. Maybe if Jesus, if the rapture were to happen today and you would not be ready, just pray this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I confess my sins to you, Lord. I repent of my sins today. And I receive my cleansing of all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'll live for you every day of my life. Hallelujah, Father. Just pray in the Holy Ghost, church. Lord, I just pray for anybody who prayed that prayer this morning. We thank you, Lord. We seal them with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, God, for your strength and your power over their lives, for moving mightily in their life, Lord. I pray, Lord, for my friend who prayed that prayer today. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for showing them a church to go to. Get them reading their Bible, Lord God, turning on the praises of God. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And before you're seated, I also want to pray over our nation today again. Scriptures just keep jumping out at me regarding our country. And somebody say, now's not the time to stop standing, right? Now is not the time to quit on our country, on our nation, on God's promises toward our country. Amen. But I was reading Exodus this week, and I want to read you a couple passages out of 14 and 15, Exodus 14 and 15. This is my prayer notebook, my journal, right? I keep lots of scriptures in here as the Lord shows me, right? And it says this. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel right before they're going to cross the Red Sea. Amen. They think they're about to die. You brought us out here to die, Moses. No, no, no. Somebody say, no, no, no. He says this, fear not. Somebody say, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. And I say this on behalf of the USA right now, right? And God's people in the USA, right? Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall never see again. Amen. The Lord shall fight for you while you hold your peace. Amen. And then chapter 15, verses 7 through 10 say this. Actually, verse 7, verse 9, and verse 10. In the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and my hand shall destroy them. Verse 10 says this, you blew with your wind and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Somebody say, amen. Praise the Lord. That spirit of lawlessness and people that are embracing and legalizing such things, somebody say, it's coming. It's coming. There's too many people praying and standing in faith. Amen. And this is not the time to turn our backs and quit and surrender. Amen. May God save them. But if they, how many know, have you ever seen the Wile E. Coyote cartoons? He's chasing the Roadrunner and all of a sudden he's got an anvil and he's falling. Right? Somebody say, release the anvil. That's the trick, right? If they just release the anvil, everything will be okay. Otherwise, those things, somebody say, those things are going down. Amen? But the church is on the rise. God's people are on the rise. God's word is going up. So we stick with God's word. Amen? But we say those words over our country today, and we thank you, Father. We praise you for the mighty awakening to God that's happening in our nation. And we do pray, Lord, for President Biden. We do pray for Kamala Harris. We do pray for Nancy Pelosi and for all the justices and representatives and congresspeople and governors and attorney generals and mayors across the land, Father. We speak light. We speak the plan and purpose of God that will prevail in this nation. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, United States, they are plans, they are good plans for a future and a hope, plans to prosper you. And we thank you for it, God. In Jesus' mighty name. But we bind the works of the enemy and we release the perfect plan of God. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I'm standing. I'm standing, amen. I'll turn it over to Pastor Shelley.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up. We're going to continue on in Isaiah 43:19. I'm so excited about this scripture that the Lord has given us. Isaiah 43:19. Let's go ahead and read it. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And we talked about how that, it's okay, Ben. We talked about how behold means that Isaiah was talking along, and Don Richard, it's so awesome to see you guys and all your kids with you today. Woohoo! I looked up and there they were. Awesome. Behold, Isaiah had been talking along and giving his prophecies and sharing the words of the Lord. And then he says, behold. And when he says this word, behold, it's like, hey, wake up, crowd. Listen up. Pay attention. This is something important that I'm about to share. And then he says, I will do a new thing. And we read in one of the commentaries, it says, something that has never occurred, something unheard of, a wonderful event that shall surpass all that God had formerly done. We talked about God has done some amazing things in our lifetimes, right? Amazing things in our own lives, but he's going to do a new thing. Amen? Somebody say amen this morning. You're too quiet. Thank you, honey. And it says, now it shall spring forth. And last week we talked about how that it sprouts up. It talks about to grow up into abundance. We talked about that it's coming forth, that it's going to be a beautiful thing that God is doing. Such a work we've never seen before. We're supposed to wake up and pay attention, and it's beginning to sprout. And we talked about how sometimes when you plant something in the ground, all of a sudden one day you look and, whoa, how'd they get there? That was so fast. I was sharing about the crocuses in our front yard, that all of a sudden they weren't there, and then one day they are there. Or about our kids and how one day you look at them here and the next day you're there, right? It's like, whoa, when did that happen? Just overnight. That's what God is saying when he was talking about that part. And now we're getting to the next part. And somebody say, I'm excited. It says, shall ye not know it? This portion right here means to know, to acknowledge, be acquainted with, clearly understand, comprehend, experience, made to know. But this is the phrase that jumped out at me. I guess you can't see it that well. I'll have to change that slide. It says, ascertain by seeing. It means it's not there, but you're seeing it. How many times do you look at the prophets and they're foretelling something that is to come? In this portion of scripture, Isaiah is talking about, really about Jesus, that Jesus is coming. He's foretelling something that is in the future. Did he see Jesus? Not in the natural, right? He saw it in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. And a lot of times that is the problem when it comes to us believing, especially about our finances. It's like, if we can't see it, it ain't happening, right? A lot of times that's our mentality. I got to see it to believe it, right? When really a phrase should be, I'm going to believe it and then I'm going to see it. We need to change that around. What does it say in Hebrews 11:1? It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things I've already seen. Is that what it says? Somebody better be doing this. Shaking your head, no. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? So this is seeing beyond your normal eyes. This is seeing with your spiritual eyes. Somebody in this room say amen. That is so awesome. And when I was thinking about this, I was remembering the story of Elisha. Remember the story of Elisha? And they're sitting in the city, and he and his servant are up kind of higher in the city, and they can oversee the walls, and they can see thousands upon thousands of enemy sitting in there. They are totally encamped about. And I kind of got this picture of, here's Elijah, probably doesn't have a lawn chair, but he's got some kind of chair that he's sitting in, and he's just chilling, he's just talking to the Lord, hanging out, and I could see his servant pacing, and pacing, and pacing, and pacing, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he's looking at Elisha going, when is God going to do something? Elisha's like, it's okay, God's got this. And he's like, Elisha, you don't get this. Look out there. Can't you see what I see? That is the enemy. There are so many enemies out there that there is no way. And I love Elisha's heart. Oh, servant. There is more with us than with them. And the servant's still looking through the natural eye, right? He's still looking out, seeing the economy. He's seeing his bank account. He's seeing the things, the bills that need to be paid. He's seeing all the things in the natural, right? And what does Elisha pray? Lord, open his eyes. Now listen to that. Open his eyes. Not his mind, not his heart, not his emotion. Open his eyes. Why? Because he needed to ascertain by seeing. Shall you not know it? And what does it say? It says that he opened his eyes and, whoa, where'd all these people come from? Whoa, there are more with us than are with them. Somebody say amen. All of a sudden, he got a visual of what God was doing. And all of a sudden he could see, it says, the armies and hosts of heaven. And there were more with them than were against them. And that's what I'm here to tell you today. You have to stop seeing with your natural eyes. We need to start looking at our finances through our spiritual eyes. And you may say, well, what does that mean? That means you need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. There have been so many times I've been doing our finances, and I'll sit down and I'll do it over and over and over and over again, and I can't make it work. And then, oh, light goes on. Oh, how about pray? I'm getting quicker now. I pray before I do the finances, right? But in those days, it was like the Lord would all of a sudden open my eyes, and I would see, here, this. Oh, all of a sudden, everything's paid for. It's the same finances that I had before I prayed. Amen? But God does something in the supernatural realm, and all of a sudden, it's not the same anymore, because now you're seeing through the eyes of the Lord, and there are more with you than are with them. Say it with me. There are more with me than against me. He is fighting for you today. He is always fighting for you. He is always looking to bless you. We just have to start seeing with our spiritual eyes. Isaiah says, shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? Shall you not see it? Shall you not ascertain with your eyes what God is about to do? This new thing in your finance. Behold moments. Amen? Behold moments. I was remembering as we started worship, that one of the praise reports was, should have been given last week, was Joni and her husband. They had like three things back to back happen in their lives in a short span. And it didn't look good in the natural. But she was sharing with me how over and over again, God provided. Even though in the natural it wasn't good, God still provided. That's what happens when you give your tithes and offerings. God provides. You may say, well, some of my savings got out. Guess what? He put it in there. I think this thing is making, sorry guys. I kept hearing this little rattle. There we go. God had already put it in there in the first place. So like I shared with her, I'm believing the Lord to fill back up that savings account. Amen? So sometimes God blesses us in advance so we have the money we need. I remember Nicole, years ago, she used to work in our nursery, and she's been having to work on Sundays so far, but we're praying that that changes for her. But she had been blessed with finances, and she was like, okay, I don't have an urgent need. Whoa, I have these finances. And she had something happen with her car, and it was a totally different thing, like an oil type thing. She had that fixed, and they told her, you know what? Your tires are terrible. Terrible. We can't even allow you to leave here because they're so bad. They're so thin. And guess what? The cost of her tires was the same amount she had just been blessed with. You see, God knows what you have need of even before you know it. So that's one of the things that we were sharing with our kids. It is so awesome to have those behold moments in your life. And yes, it's okay to spend some of that behold. But sometimes you need to pray and ask the Lord, do I need to save some of it back? Is there something else that I should be holding it on to because there's something about to happen? Or there's something coming. Amen. And that's why when you're a tither and a giver, you ask the Lord, you've blessed me with this. What do I do with it? What do I do with it? And sometimes he'll say, have fun, child. And then you go and you have fun. Amen. We were sharing last week that Pastor Steve and I had extra, and we've been praying about it, and we decided to go to the beach, but then we prayed a little bit more, and both of us separately heard from the Lord, that's a dryer. And I was sharing with you, that's not always what God does. He's not out to steal our fun. But for me, it's fun to walk out and see a new appliance. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, right? And so that's on our list. That's what we're going to be getting for our anniversary, is a dryer. And you may think, what? But it's listening to the Lord for wisdom. Wisdom in your finances. Amen? I know the Lord will bless us. He always does. but it's listening and being obedient. God's about to do something. It's a new thing in your life. Shall you not perceive it? Will you not ascertain with your eyes? It's coming, but you need to start asking your Lord, open my eyes so I can see what you're going to do. Amen? I don't know about you, but this whole thing is just shouting ground. In the midst of what we're going through and in the world around us, you can take the same philosophy and you can look at it and you can say, oh, but this is happening and this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And my prayer today is like Elisha, Lord, open their eyes. Let them see, remind them, there are more with us than against us. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Woo! Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for this word today. Your word that is powerful and effective. And Lord, I thank you for the things that you are beginning to do in people's lives, the behold moments financially that you are doing. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for those. And we praise you and we thank you for the rest that are coming. Because you're not done yet, Father. You're not done. And I thank you, Father, for opening our eyes to see what your plans are for our finances. Help us to see it in advance, to be excited about what you're doing. When the servants saw the armies, your armies hadn't defeated the enemy yet, but he got excited. Why? Because he saw the truth. And that's what we need to see today, the truth about our circumstances, the truth about our finances, the truth about our country. God, your word does not change. So if something has to change, it's going to be something else besides your word, and you will line it up with your word. And we praise you today. Bless every seed that is sown. Anoint the harvest, God. Let it be such a magnitude, Father, that it will be overflowing bank accounts, Father. So when they give, it's literally going to be off the top. They're going to be looking for places to give because there will be such excess. We praise you in advance for it, Father, because our eyes today have been opened to the truth. And we know you're doing a new thing. And we get excited, God, about what you're doing. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I remembered one more praise that has to do with this. Teresa, most of you know, moved about it's a little over a year ago to Arkansas, and they had tried to sell their home. Her husband stayed here with the house, and they thought it was going to be a quick thing, and it wasn't, so they took it off the market, and then COVID hit, and so they decided to put it on the market again. They put it on they put it on this last Saturday on the market, and I got a text early Wednesday morning said, it sold, and it was an amazing price. Woo! God knows. Amen. Behold moments. Amen. All right.
Just stretch your hands out toward the giving nets. Let's make a statement of faith to say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go. Gather in my harvest. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, businesses, ministries, houses, vehicles, the right things at the right time, furnished, full, and free. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Somebody shout, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. God is so good. You know, in a tenth of all the giving that comes in here goes out to other ministries. There's other types of giving we're doing, so praise the Lord. So your church is not the Dead Sea. Everything doesn't flow into here and it stay right. It just keeps flowing. Somebody say, it keeps on a flowing. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Pastor Shelley, for that awesome word. God is so good. Well, let's pray over today's message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We welcome it, we receive it, we thank you for it, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Just say, Lord, I receive your vision for my life in Jesus' name. And I want to challenge all of us today, as I've been preparing for this. You know, this started out as Vision Day, and then it turned to Vision 2 services, and then it's pretty much been Vision Month. Amen. So God has something for us. But I want to ask everybody today to write down, and it shouldn't take you much time to do this, but write down the top three things, or writing would be better, but the top three things you're believing God for this year, and we're going to pray for it at the end of the service. Or holler at me if I act like I'm not going to do it. Remind me. But the top three things, you should be able to do it in like 60 seconds. It shouldn't be something you have to ponder much. But the top three things you're believing God for in 2021, just write them down. It's okay to have it on your phone or whatever too, the notes page, but there's something powerful about writing it down. Amen. And hallelujah. What gets written down gets done. Amen. And you might have more than that, but I just feel the top three things. Amen. And we're gonna pray over that today. Hallelujah. So welcome back to Vision Day, Vision Month, whatever we're calling it. God is a God of great vision. And I remember Jesse Duplantis at his vision conference that we went to a year and a half ago. And one of the things that he said that will always stand out to me, I still have my notebook that I took, you know, from that conference. And one of the things that he said in his conference was, vision creates fellowship with God. We have a God of great vision. Amen. And so when you're pondering your vision, when you're seeing things in your spirit during your prayer time that the Lord is showing you, you're fellowshipping with God. It's not a selfish thing. When I get on the treadmill, I throw on my earbuds, my earphones, and I'm playing music that is glorifying God, and I start seeing things in the spirit. Could be because I'm getting close to death when I'm on the just kidding, no. When you're having my treadmill time, my walking time is a great time that I fellowship with my vision. I see you in it. This is a big part of my vision. Amen? The church is a huge part of our vision, right? Amen. A calling and so forth, but family things, you know, financially, whatever. But amen. And don't think small. Amen. Your daddy is a big, big God. They don't come any bigger, right? So whatever your vision is, the thing that God's put in your heart, just use your imagination, pray in the Holy Ghost over it. But today we're going to pray over the top three things. But I want to begin just a quick review again of the prophetic words for 2021. Kenneth Copeland Ministries says 2021 is the year of the local church. Hallelujah. Amen. So this isn't the year of the end of the church. We prayed a few minutes ago about the children of Israel being at the Red Sea. They thought it was the end, but it was not. It was really only just the beginning, wasn't it? Amen. And he says it's a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and I love this, divine recovery. Somebody say recovery. Amen. We have a God of recovery, full recovery. Lane, would you mind just turning my volume down just a hair? It's a little, like you, I think you were right. It's a little bit, maybe a little hot in here on that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. And Jerry Seville says this, the year 2021, thank you, buddy, will be a year of abundant overflow. Somebody say abundant overflow. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you can read more about these and hear them teach more on these things on their websites, kcm.org. By the way, I would encourage you to use the Victory Network as your news source. It's amazing what these people are doing with the Victory Network. And there's a faith emphasis on it. They're straight about what's happening in the world. But here's also what God's word says. Here's what the prophetic word, it's amazing. Instead of just having the news going and going and going and going and going, I think theirs are like 9 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. And you get an update. Okay, but anyway, just check their website. You can actually pull it up on, just Google it, and you can watch on demand. So, like, I'm not always right there at 9 or whatever the time is to watch it, but you can watch it again, and it's just, it's a powerful source, you know, rather than just having the regular old news going all the time. It'll actually build you up. Amen? But, and Jerry Seville's website is jerryseville.org. Great men of God. Jesse Duplantis, jdm.org, his theme for the year, for 2021, is "What shall I do for thee?" out of 2 Kings chapter 4. And that's kind of what we were just talking about with writing those top three things down. What do you want from God this year? Amen? And don't limit him. Praise the Lord. But specifically, we've been spending these past couple Sundays on his theme for us for the year, which our theme for 2021 is God's great mercy, which we did a message on that last 2 weeks ago that's online, and fighting the good fight of faith. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Amen. And I believe throughout the year, we're going to be spending time and message after message on those two themes throughout this year, right? But the foundation text for that is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. In fact, why don't we just turn to 1 Timothy and read a few verses before that even. And of course, 1 Timothy must come before 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to start at about, let's see. How about if we just make it easy? Let's start at verse 1. "Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches," verse 3, "otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words." Man, we've got to watch out, right? We cannot be people that are obsessed with disputes and arguments. That sounds like 2021, doesn't it, right? Amen? In our hearts, it is settled. God's word is true, right? "From which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself." Yeah, this getting into, you know, arguments, disputes, it leads to worse things. Amen? So we need to be people that shut the door on that stuff, right? "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain." Verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." And this is the key right here. A lot of people just stop right there and say, "See there? Money is evil." Well, no, it is not. Money's a tool, right? It's the heart of the person behind it, isn't it? Because verse 10 says this, "For the love of money," somebody say the love of money, right, "is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." A lot of our leaders in our country know better, but because of their love for money and power, they just say, "Yeah, I know this isn't right, but it's my job." That ain't good, church, right? And that certainly ought not be the case in the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it says this, verse 11, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." And here we go. "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Did you know that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses? And George Washington is in that cloud. And Abraham Lincoln is in that cloud, right? And Martin Luther King Jr. and Jackie Robinson, right? So many, many others. Moses is in the cloud. You know, we talk about, hold your phone up, right? The cloud. No, we're talking about the cloud of witnesses, angels of God, people that have gone on before us that are rooting for God's people and God's word. Amen? And so we hold fast the confession of our faith. No matter what, no matter how it looks, no matter how it seems. And in your notes there, I gave you the notes that we used 2 weeks ago because we didn't get through it, right? So we're on point number two. Fighting the good fight of faith. And I want to look at a few of these key words. The word fight, somebody say fight, right? So it's important to remember we are in a battle. We're in a war, but it's not against people. Amen? Now, there are people involved, but I don't have any control over choices people make. Amen? In fact, I got enough issues just controlling the choices I make besides who you name them, whoever, right? But we do have power and authority over demonic forces in this planet that are speaking through people. Amen? So we're in a fight that, by the way, it's a fixed fight. Jesus has won the battle already, amen? And we just have to, like the scripture we read this morning, stand our ground, right? Amen? But fight means a conflict. There is a conflict, contention. There's a race, a contest, an effort. And the devil is fighting against the church, right? Angels versus demons, hell versus heaven. Yes, heaven is won already. Praise God for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which preaches, right, a crucified Savior and a risen Lord and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. But there's still a conflict on the planet. There's still contention going on between God and the devil. God and the devil are not in agreement in any area. That's why Satan is known as the adversary, because everything he wants to do is adverse to what God wants to do. Amen? And it's never been more plain in our history as a country of the line there, right? There's just not a whole lot of things in common between the one side and the other side, the light side and the dark side, right? And so what do? We stand our ground. We are fighting the fight of faith. We're not quitting. We're not waving the white flag. We continue to stand. We're going to win this thing. Somebody say, we're going to win this thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we keep an attitude of victory. Hallelujah. What boxer goes into the ring thinking he's going to lose, right? No, he has trained, if you've seen any of the Rocky movies, right? He has trained, amen, he has worked, he has pushed his body to the limit. And that's one of the things I don't enjoy about the Rocky movies, all the language. There's too much language. Some of those movies, man, if they just take the language out, I could watch it more often, right? But man, the guy, he pushed himself to the limit. And then his opponent would say, man, his jaw is like granite. He just keeps getting back up and keeps getting back up and keeps getting back up. Well, somebody say amen, right? Somebody say, we're going to win this thing. Because we're on the winning side already, right? Jesus did the hard part, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, we win the fight. All I got to do is stand. Stand in faith. And the word faith, I like this right here. Conviction of the truthfulness of God. Conviction of the truthfulness of God. There's a lot of lies in this world. And even a lot of Christians and believers have bought into lies. So we've got to be people in this fight of faith that are convicted. Our conviction is the truthfulness of the Bible. This is not mythology. This is not, you know, suggestion. This is not old school, you know, old hat. Yeah, come on, catch up to 2021. No, this is, we are convicted, our conviction is this is the truthfulness of God, and this is how we live. No matter what society says, no matter what social media says, no matter what the news is saying, or your favorite movie star or athlete is saying, or what even what religions are saying, right? No, fighting the fight of faith means I have a conviction to the truthfulness, a conviction to the truth, to the truth. Somebody say amen. So that means we got to be people in this fight of faith that know what the Bible says and we live it and we believe it day to day. One day, somebody say one day at a time. Amen. Somebody say, I am convicted of the truthfulness of God. Hallelujah. And it means reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy in such profession, and it means believe. That word faith. But for us, for this particular year, as far as our theme goes, I believe that that phrase, conviction of the truthfulness of God, is huge. It is huge. It's lies versus truth. Darkness versus light. And there may be some extra pressure in the near future on people that hold to the truth. Amen? Even one of my, this new company that I've been with, which is a good company, but they're wanting to go on the global, national scale, which is fine, but they just distributed our, not the company I'm now moving to by this leadership of the Lord, but the one I'm in transition from now. The employee manual that we all had to sign has things in it now. You remember back in the day, anybody who's ever worked a job before, do not discriminate on behalf of sex or religion or race. Man, I'll tell you what, they have like chapters now in the employee manual about how you must believe and what how you must think and how, you know, and it all these gender things. It's like, how bizarre is that? That we've gotten to that point now where even in business, you know, my daughter's in a business ethics class at Washington State. Business ethics, when I was in college, had to do about integrity in business. Now it's, no, you accept all these different lifestyles as part of your business. It's like, what? Bizarre stuff. So the Holy Ghost shows us, right, as people in the body of Christ, how to live in the world, because we need to live in the world. The world needs to know the truth, right? And yet not buy into their lies. The main thing that the church needs to do, whether it's in school, in business, whatever, is we need to be people that recognize the lies. I have another niece who's in college as well, and she has a political science class. Same type of dialogue that she's hearing. And this side is right, and this side is wrong. You know? It's no longer, what do you think? When I was in political science in college, it was, hey, let's talk about this issue. What do you all think of it? No, now it's, no, this is what we think. I was watching a history video this week about how Nazi Germany got going. That was one of the key things. You don't get to think for yourself anymore. This, and it's fun. This is a joyful thing. Nah, somebody say, no. people who recognize lie from truth. And that doesn't mean we abandon the world. We're in the world. Jesus wants us in the world. Jesus wants us working jobs and raising kids and going to school, not hiding from the world. But the Holy Ghost will show us how to be in the world and not of the world. Somebody say amen. Why? Because we have a conviction of the truth in our lives. Amen? And that word, when it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And that word hold means to seize, to catch, to take. Isn't that what Jesus did on our behalf, right? When he was nailed to that cross and spent 3 days in the pit of hell, the lowest of the low, right? And stole those keys back from the devil and raised again gloriously 3 days later. Isn't that what he was doing on our behalf, right? He was seizing, catching, taking back everything the devil stole in the Garden of Eden, right? On our behalf. So now he's asking us to take the same attitude into our life. Not against people, although God will use people, right? I can brag on my kids, but Lacey has written papers at Washington State University that they get A's. And yet the professor says, I don't agree with you, but that's a great paper. That's marvelous. Now, I don't know how long God will have us there and in that environment, but she is light in that environment. A couple of my other kids have Bible clubs in their schools, right? Just introducing kids to the idea of the Bible. Why not? They have rainbow clubs at the schools where grown-ups are teaching minors about these bizarre, perverted things. And so God is raising up people that are bringing the Bible into church or into the public school realm. So I guess what we're saying is the Holy Ghost is not telling me to hide from the world. No. Or be bashful about what we believe. Be ashamed of what we believe. No. Somebody say it's much greater than that. It's much, 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 much stronger than that. It's the light of God. Amen? So we lay hold, we seize, we catch, we take it. How do we do that? We pray, man. We press. We come to church, right? We read our Bibles. We study our Bibles. We spend time with Jesus. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible is where some of the disciples are on trial for the awesome things God is doing through them. And it says, when they saw the boldness, they recognized what? They had been with Jesus. Somebody say, be with Jesus. Be with Jesus. Again, bragging on my kids, Lane, Lindsay, Lacey, Luke, they all have their time with Jesus every day. Their Bible is open. You know, I know all of our kids have gone through challenging, we all have, but our kids, right? With school, sports, you know, they're going into now a whole year basically without having sports. It's just oppressive, right? In schools and all, you know, you understand. And we're all in the same battle of faith, right? But what is one of the greatest things is they have all used this time to press into God, to study their Bible, to have things on their phone that build their faith up, apps that teach them the Word. And it's a marvelous thing what God can do, right? With time that the devil would want to celebrate. It's like, no, you ain't winning nothing, devil. You are not winning nothing. Hallelujah. So we seize, we catch, we take hold of eternal life. Eternal means forever, everlasting. Somebody say, this is a forever thing. And guess what? Today is a part of forever. Today is a part of eternal life. Heaven's going to be great. Yes, amen. Anybody know anyone who's there now? I do. Right? Many people. Amen, Evie. Who would like to go to heaven? Hallelujah, right? Heaven is a place, man. It's not make-believe. There's a place called heaven where it's glory, glory, glory all the time. Amen? But right now, this is where God has called you and me to be, to shine his light. Because forever is a really long time. He needs his people in the world staying in faith because there are souls at stake in this planet. Amen? So we minister, we shine God's light, we reach out, point people. Somebody to say, point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. The Holy Ghost is going to give us timely words for people. Even when you're at the grocery store and you're cashing out and the person's like, everything's terrible. Well, man, put your faith in it. He'll give you something to say to them to point them to Jesus. It's easier sometimes to just agree with everybody because we don't want to be adverse. But somebody say, it's time to be adverse. Not to them, but to the devil, right? Somebody say, just add a little salt. Add a little salt. Shine a little light. Praise God. Give them some hope. So, eternal life. And then it says, to which you also were called and have confessed. That word confess means covenant. To acknowledge, to give thanks. Don't you know we have a covenant with God that is an eternal covenant? Receiving communion. Spending time with Jesus, knowing what's in his word for us, what his blood covers, is vital in this fight of faith. Because then you'll know what to accept and what to reject from our lives. Amen? Should I accept cancer? Should I accept poverty? Right? Should I accept depression? I had my annual physical this past week, and man, I'll tell you what, he was thorough, brother. And one of the things he did was I like this doctor. I'm receiving healing from blood pressure and cholesterol. I'm almost 50. And he's like, well, a lot of that stuff is just you're getting older. Your age. So you're going to stay on this medication. I'm like, just got to hear what they're saying, But in my heart, I'm thinking, I'm not going to be on this medication forever. I believe I received divine health in my body, right? Another thing he said was, how about depression? Are you feeling depressed? He just kind of stared at me. No, sir. he was saying, how could you not be depressed? You're lying to me. No, I refuse it. Somebody just say, I refuse it. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And the doctors are not our enemies, right? And I got a good report, by the way. My bill of health is clean. We're working on some things, but it's nothing nutty, right? But praise God. So we start recognizing things to reject and what to receive from God. I reject sickness. I receive my health. Amen. That's called fighting the fight of faith, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Why? Because we have a covenant with God. Blood was shed. That's why we can't quit on our nation. Too much blood was shed for this country. For us to just lay it down and let it go. No. Somebody say no. Too many promises have been made from God. How much more your life, your private life, your family, your health, all of these things. So we don't let go. We don't let up. Amen? So, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is the one word we're going to look at here too. So, which is something evidential. I love how Billy Burke says it. He says, if every sickness can start with a symptom appearing, then every miracle can start with a symptom disappearing. So if you even feel a little bit better after you pray, you should shout and praise God because, man, that is a symptom that a miracle is about to happen. Amen? That's called a witness, right? Something evidential, evidence. And it means this, I like this right here, the Decalogue in the sacred temple. To be testified, it means testimony. But I think of, you know, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and the sacred temple, tabernacle. How many know you and me are the sacred tabernacle now? And the Decalogue represents God's holy word. And Jesus is God's holy word in the flesh, amen? And he's living on the inside of us, which means that witness is on the inside of you 24/7. And we need to start listening and hearing him witness, hearing the Holy Ghost share with us every day, no, no, son, don't accept that. I know that's what you're feeling right now, but reject that because my blood has already covered that issue. Amen? What are we doing? We're fighting the fight of faith. America's going down, man. Somebody say reject that. Fight the fight of faith. We apply the blood of Jesus over our nation. Hallelujah. We claim our nation for God. Hallelujah. And finally, we'll close with 2 Samuel 23, verse 10. This is a story of one of David's mighty men. Don't you know God is looking for some people who will be mighty in their faith? Right? He's looking for Mighty Mouse, not Minnie Mouse. Somebody say, I have mighty faith, the mighty faith of God. And it says this one of David's mighty men. He arose and attacked the Philistines. Now, if you notice, it doesn't say they. He, one guy. Somebody say one guy. Arose and attacked the Philistines. Many, many guys. Why? Because he was defending his king, right? Defending his faith, right? He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand, this is the part right here, and his hand stuck to the sword. He fought and fought and fought and fought until they couldn't pry his fingers. There, all these dead Philistines everywhere, blood everywhere, and his buddies couldn't pry his hand off the sword. Somebody say, that's how it's got to be with this, right? No circumstance, no devil, no symptom is going to pry me loose of the Word of God, right? The Lord brought about a great victory that day, it says, and the people returned after him only to plunder. Somebody say, glory to God. Now that's what we're going to be talking about this year. The mercy of God and fighting the fight of faith. And I'm excited about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that word, when it says, and his hand stuck to the sword, it means joined together. See? Somebody say, I am joined together with this word, right? I am convicted of the truthfulness of God, and nothing's going to talk me out of it or shake me free of it. And I'm not going to quit, and the Holy Ghost is going to help me to not get weary in the fight. Amen? He's helped me with that the past few weeks. Huh? Son, you cannot get weary in well-doing. Just keep saying my word, keep preaching my word, no matter how it looks or how it feels. Somebody just say, just keep going. Remember the Energizer Bunny? Still going. Well, that's what we're like. With the Holy Ghost. We'll close with this thought. We'll pray over your vision, right? But again, we are a three-part being, right? We are a spirit. Somebody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul, which includes your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. That's why when you go to a funeral, if you've ever been to a funeral, there's a body there. But Elvis has left the building. You know what I'm talking about? Right? Joe is gone, but Joe's body is there, right? Because his spirit man has left. All that who he is, like Kenneth E. Hagin says, it's like a hand coming out of a glove, right? Well, here's the thing to remember in this fight of faith is this is a spiritual battle. And your spirit man, your spirit woman does not get tired. Your soul, my will, my emotions, my body might get weary, but in the spirit, I am an eternal being. There's no way you can beat a person like that. There's no way the devil can outrun, outlast you, because you are an eternal son and daughter of God. And if we stay in the spirit, if we just stay in the spirit, that's really what the maybe a word for this fight of faith is, means stay. Somebody say, stay in the spirit. My spirit puts my soul and my body in line. Hey, soul, there's a psalm about this. Why are you so downcast? Put your hope in God, because that's the direction we are going. Hey, body, I know you're tired. We'll get you some rest. You know, it doesn't mean I don't like my body or don't like my soul. We got to watch that. I'm not my enemy. No. But my soul and my body, they're following my spirit. Somebody say, that's the game plan. That's how we win this game. Hallelujah. Isn't that how Jesus won? Because what he did on this planet, he did not do as God. He did as a man. Right? What he did on the cross, he did as a man, an anointed man. Laid aside his glory and then took it back up again many, many times over. So many people will say, yeah, well, Jesus did it, but I ain't Jesus. Yeah, well, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. That same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Let's stand up on our feet and take your sheet of paper that you have. Hallelujah. In fact, does somebody have a pen? I need to write a couple things here too. Thank you, Luke. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. We have a God of great vision. Glory, 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 glory. Just lay your hand on that thing. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on this vision today, on these three things that I'm laying my hands on. I call them done. Angels of God, go. Bring these things to pass. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. I receive, as Oral Roberts would say, I receive ideas, concepts, and insights. Strategies of the Holy Ghost to bring these things to pass this year in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And now let's just make a commitment to God. Let's say, Father God, I commit to living a life of conviction to the truth in every area of my life. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say, amen.